Holy cow, the years just keep sliding by, don't they? How is it March already? But it's not too late to change your life this year. If you're still not in a job you love, stop messing around. Go to mycomputercareer.edu and take the free career evaluation today. You could start your new life as an information technology professional in as little as 4 months, even with zero IT experience. Helping people start an IT career is what we do. Many of our graduates could do little more than turn their computers on and off before they started. Attend classes on campus or live online just twice a week to get the skills and certifications you'll need to start your new career. More than just a school, My Computer Career helps you get into the industry by working with hundreds of employers that hire our students. My Computer Career is nationally accredited and financial aid is available to those who qualify, including the GI Bill. Classes start soon, so go take the free career evaluation today at mycomputercareer.edu. It's not rocket science, it's mycomputercareer.edu. The First Take Your Take podcast is presented by Capital One. This is Banking Reimagined. It's First Take Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. We're asking you to chime in. A little bit different than the conversation you've heard so much with Dak and the Cowboys. We're asking you, if Dak and the Cowboys part ways, where's the best fit for Dak and why? We've gotten a bunch of tweets on it. Remember the why part of it. At Jason Fitz is how you can get in on the conversation on Twitter. Also, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We want to know where, we want to know why, and I'll remind you that it's Friday, which means by the end of the show, we're going to pick a caller or tweeter of the week. That person's going to get First Take Your Take swag. Talking shirts, talking hoodies, talking stickers. Woo! You want some of that. At first take. At Jason Fitz and 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Don't forget, Pennzoil synthetic motor oils are made from natural gas. It gives you unbeatable engine protection. The proof is in the Pennzoil based on sequence 4A wear test using SAE 5W30. Now, we're going to get into a controversial topic here. And this is obviously because of some things that were said by Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant went on the podcast, a podcast to talk about, it's called All the Smoke. There we go. Went on All the Smoke with Steven Jackson and Matt Barnes. And All the Smoke is sort of a funny, ironic title for their podcast. They talk about all things NBA. But in this process, they were talking about marijuana. And here's Kevin Durant's quote, referencing the NBA's drug policy being archaic. The quote, "It's just like marijuana is marijuana. It's not harmful to anybody. It can only help and enhance and do good things. I feel like it shouldn't even be a huge topic around it anymore." That's KD on All the Smoke with the podcast talking about it. Now, there's obviously going to be strong reaction to that. Matt Barnes went on. I've got plenty to say about this, but before we get to any of that, NBA player Matt Barnes went on with Stephen A. and Max to ask the real question, does KD have a point about where we are with weed in the NBA?
Let me say that I've been very, very popular for saying stay off the weed.
Stay off the weed.
We all know that. But I got to give my brother Matt Barnes a lot of props and love here because, you know, myself, I joined him and Steven Jackson on All the Smoke. They're doing a tremendous job. Congratulations. Major props to y'all. Y'all doing it up, man. But here's the deal. I appreciate the conversation Matt and I had both on the podcast, on the air, off the air. And I appreciate the education that he provided me because he's absolutely right. I don't know why people out there expected me to get in a beef with Matt Barnes about this. But when he said I was ignorant about the marijuana stuff, he's absolutely damn right. I am, because I don't pretend to know what my position has been and has always been, which I said with my appearance on All the Smoke, is I don't have a problem with weed use. I have a problem with guys that let it affect their money. If a league has a policy in place that prohibits it, even though Max is absolutely right about alcohol and all of this other stuff that you want to bring into the fray, the bottom line is they have a rule in place. And if you know what the rule is and you violate it and cost yourself tens or hundreds of thousands of dollars, or in some rare cases, even more than that, because you can't stay off the weed, I got a problem with you. If it don't cost you any money, I don't have a problem with you. I think in the case of Kevin Durant, I think you can make a legitimate argument that in some cases, he's absolutely right. Most cases, I would dare say. I have always been a proponent of marijuana for medicinal purposes being used. I've never been an adversary to that at all. For medicinal purposes, as I said, my mother, God rest her soul, passed away from cancer 2.5 years ago. And I considered, you know, you having her use marijuana for medicinal purposes. No question. She didn't want to do it. But I considered it and I broached it to her. So I understand it. But in terms of recreational use, I think marijuana affects different people different ways. And I think, and I have personally seen dudes come on the court. Ha! Now, this is in the past, many, many years ago, when I was a beat writer covering the Philadelphia 76ers. And no, I'm not talking about Allen Iverson. But I've seen it. I've seen it happen. Now, that's not to say that's the case in most instances. That's not to say that's the case in all instances. Of course, I'm not saying that. I'm saying if you're a league and you prefer to guard against that because you think it would be detrimental, then I don't have a problem with it. So it's not to say that KD is wrong, because I don't think he's wrong, but I do think it's unrealistic to say under no circumstances could this leave somebody inebriated, could compromise their level of play, etc. I don't believe that's totally true. In most instances, probably. But totally true, I'm not so sure.
All right, lot to get to there. Number one, I don't know why this conversation becomes about addicts. Cannabis is not considered addictive. Now, people have been addicted to it. My personal belief is, you know, logic tells you it's probably massive doses of nicotine that people get when they smoke blunts because of the cigar paper. That's probably what people, but even if you say some people actually get addicted to cannabis itself, why does that mean the small percentage of cases that are addicts, why does that inform your entire policy? Because there are alcoholics who also show up drunk to games, right? And that doesn't mean that there's a prohibition against alcohol. Let me get into some history here real quick. The reason there's a prohibition ongoing against cannabis is because at one point alcohol and cannabis were both prohibited, but there was a drug czar, the first in this history, in this country's history, Harry S. Anslinger, who was looking for a political issue, found cannabis as an issue and demonized it, made up science. The government invented science. It did not exist. It was just lies, propaganda and lies about how, and there were quotes from Anslinger. Cannabis may, or marijuana, he called it, because it sounded more Mexican, and therefore he could demonize it further to parts of this country, makes the darker races feel they're the equal to the white man. Literally, stuff like this. That's how we got demonized in propaganda films, like Reefer Madness, which just made up the effects of cannabis. That's number one. And so I would say, if you're in bed with alcohol companies, and every study ever done said alcohol's worse for you than weed, that's the standard. Now, why is that issue? Like, KD says it's not a big deal. It shouldn't be a big deal anymore, right? I agree with him. But it's like human rights. This stuff should not be up for referendum. We've seen throughout our history that sometimes simple issues of human rights, well, now it's popular. Now we can pass these laws. It's popular. Right. Human rights are up for referendum? Or are they consistent? Are they constant? Same thing with cannabis here. KD's right. It doesn't feel like a big deal anymore. But the problem is this. The science hasn't changed in the last couple decades. It's not like people have new knowledge of it. It's just become more popular. If you look at what a Schedule One drug means, which is how cannabis is classified absurdly, incorrectly, and as a result of lies and propaganda, it's highly addictive, right? So it has to have a potential for addiction. And you're talking about stuff like, you know, hardcore drugs, heroin and things like that. But it's not that. No. It never has been that. It will never be that. It's just made up nonsense. So while I'm very glad that popular opinion has changed, it's absurd that it was ever classified incorrectly for political and propaganda reasons. And the fact that KD says it's not a big deal anymore is instructive. It's not a big deal anymore. The issue is it never should have been a big deal.
So let's dive deeper. And I know this is something that you kind of brought up, Matt. What is the underlying reason for that kind of messaging, really,
race
around cannabis?
It's always been race. First of all, shout out KD, because I've always said it's going to take a superstar to really stand behind this for us to make any kind of progress, especially in the NBA. He's done that. People like myself and Al Harrington have continued to push the narrative and the positive attributes of cannabis. But like I said, it started back in the 30s.
Matt, before you go, I really want to preface this because people get so up in arms when you try to make any topic about race. So I really want you to be careful.
Just look at the history. Like Max mentioned the history, looking back to the 30s, it's always been a darker-skinned people using it, causing problems. When marijuana, everybody uses marijuana, but it's always been stereotyped towards the darker-skinned people. But if you look, and I agree with Stephen A. Smith, if it costs you money, it's a problem. My thing is it shouldn't cost you money. The rules are outdated. They've been outdated. And I think when I first came in the NBA, we used to get tested one time in the preseason, so it wasn't like you're promoting smoke cannabis, but it wasn't, you weren't going to get in trouble for it. And things were great back then. You know, so I think we need to get back to there. There's so many positive effects that can come from this. Sleep, focus, inflammation. It just helps you with so many different things. So it's time for them to change their policies. I think it's getting more progressive now. There's more research now. You can talk until you're blue in the face, but until there's medical research behind what we're talking about, we're not going to make any headway. There's finally some medical research behind it. And I think cannabis should be used, just like anything else, very responsibly, but it'd be very beneficial for athletes.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio and ESPN News. I'm Jason Fitz, and obviously this is the beginning of a complicated discussion. Again, I've got my take on this, and we're going to hear that in a minute. But this wasn't the end of the discussion that was happening with former NBA player Matt Barnes, who was joining Max, Stephen A., and Roz Goldenwoude. Roz Goldenwoude continued asking Matt how the NBA can regulate marijuana if approved.
What's a best practice, in your opinion, for the NBA to allow its athletes to use cannabis medicinally while also making sure that the recreational use doesn't become problematic?
Do we care that what the recreational use of alcohol is? Do we care what the recreational use of opioids is? You know, we don't put those kind of parameters on that. With cannabis, just like anything else, handled responsibly. Handle responsibly is a key word, in moderation for the right situation. So it always bothers me because, well, what if this happens? What if they don't care if we drink alcohol. They pump us full of absolutely anything to get us back on that court, whether it's Toradol, any kind of pills you can imagine, anything just to get us back there, knowing that that's causing long-term effects. So for everyone to worry about, okay, well, if you legalize it for medical use, what happens to recreational use? Then you got to start checking the box with everything. What about guys that are smoking cigarettes in the offseason? What about guys that are doing coke in the offseason? What about guys that are drinking alcohol during the season, taking pills during the season? So there's so many regulations for marijuana that people don't even care to mention about the other stuff.
Stephen A., I know you want to get in here.
Okay, let me chime in. And before I chime in, let me get an education from you real quick, Matt. We all know that if you drink too much, you can get drunk. If you smoke too much weed, can you get high?
Absolutely.
Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. Now, having said all of that, here's the part that bothers me about what you just brought up. And again, I appreciate the education, and I've always been a proponent of medicinal use of marijuana. It's the recreational use that I'm suspect about during in the season. Here's my position. 82, I think I read this number here, 82% of the teams play in locales where you can actually purchase pot because obviously it's legal. It's been legalized for medicinal purposes in various states throughout this country and what have you. And in some cases for recreational use. We understand that. We understand the trend that's taking place here. But the part that I think you're missing, Matt, and dare I say Max as well, is that I agree with y'all in terms of, what about opioids? What about alcohol? I get that. But what about this? You know what the rule is, and you can't discipline yourself to avoid it because you want it that bad.
Those are
See,
the
to
addicts.
Me, that speaks to a different yeah. problem. But you can say they're addicts,
that.
But
yeah,
there
I
are people that
addicts.
Might. I'm not. That mm-hmm. was Max. That's not me. Mm-hmm. What I'm saying is that you have people who are so defiant. Remember when we were on All the Smoke together, Matt, me, you, and Stephen. Steven agreed with me when I was talking about how cats costing themselves money. He's like, you absolutely right, Stephen A. There's no excuse for cats getting themselves caught out there where you can't discipline yourself enough where you're going to end up costing yourself money. That is my issue. I'm not opposed to what you're talking about, Matt. I'm certainly not opposed to the points that Max makes because I think they're both legitimate. What I'm saying is, does it not concern y'all that you got cats out there? We had a guy that was on the Cowboys that literally went online and announced his retirement from the National Football
League
because I ain't giving up this weed.
You're
I mean,
right.
Come on now. Come on now. I mean, that's a problem.
But what about what about the guys like myself who take one Vicodin or one Norco and feel like I'm going to throw up or I can't move around because my stomach hurts so much? Like the effects from opioids, just like marijuana hits everyone differently, opioids hit everyone differently either. So they're pumping us full of anything to get us back on that court, field, or diamond.
I agree.
No, not knowing the long-term effects and how it makes us feel. But, so I was someone who used it because I felt like I needed it. The only time I missed games when I was suspended. I played through every injury, any kind of drama off the court. It was always something that allowed me to focus. It allowed me to
but
sleep.
But that's need, Matt. That's not better. Recreational. You just said
Matt,
need.
Can I
you just
jump
said
in
need,
if you
not
if you
recreational,
don't
right?
I disagree with KD in the sense he said it can only help. But like, you know, I know you're talking, you're in the middle of a conversation. Sometimes you're not literal about everything you say, but of course you can. It can also hurt. Anything that you do in excess can hurt. And Stephen A., if you take an enormous population, you will find some people who abuse just about everything, including weed, for whatever
reason.
So if you want to talk about people with problems, yes, there are people who have problems using too much cannabis. We agree. Does that inform your entire policy?
No.
Because there are many more people with problems with alcohol, which is a more dangerous drug, which is sanctioned. So my point is, weed, for some reason, because of the ongoing demonization, which is not based in any reality, really, compared to alcohol, if that's the standard, people like Matt have to talk about the medicinal benefits. It's great that there are medicinal benefits, but that shouldn't be the reason that it's not prohibited.
But we're not disagreeing there. All three of us are on the same page with that. What I'm challenging y'all about is this. We can sit on national television and go at this till the cows come on. We can point the finger at the league about opioids, about alcohol, about their flagrant hypocrisies on a plethora of issues. We get all of that. But at the end of the day, if there is a structure in place and you are devoid of the discipline necessary to discipline yourself so you don't cost yourself the money that you have worked so hard to earn. And it's all because from a recreational perspective.
But what are you talking about here?
This is what you want to do. I'm saying you got to speak to that. You got to speak to that.
So you want to make the conversation?
There's not a bunch of addicts walking around here.
So you want to make the conversation about the margins of the enormous population of users? You want to talk about only the marginal few who've run into problems butting up against the rules of the NBA? Like, who are those people? That's not really what we're talking about.
Let me challenge the three of you.
Let me
challenge the three of you because I want to challenge the three of you.
It's not the marginal few
who've butted up against NBA rules and have been suspended.
No, I'm saying the league. The league itself, they're sitting there, they're identifying dudes with the recreational loops. You know, if you talk to Matt and you listen to Matt, you enlighten me about how you talked to former Commissioner David Stern, God rest his soul, and even he had a change of his thinking or whatever. Al Harrington and what he's been doing in regards to all that stuff in terms of bringing attention to this stuff. Nobody's dismissing any of that. At the end of the day, the Joe public out there, the paying customer who patronizes their brand, which ultimately facilitates them making the money that they want to make. If they're going to view the public that, if they're going to view these athletes that way, it's a reason for the league to be concerned about it because they're trying to get those folks money. That's the reason for it all.
It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. I'm Jason Fitz. I'll always be transparent with you guys. That's an important part to me. So I think it's important here before I comment on this to understand two things. One, I absolutely support everything that Matt Barnes is saying, that this shouldn't be a big deal. Absolutely. Two, my brother served time in prison for possession with the intent to distribute on marijuana. So it's important to understand my background. When I say all of this, to say that what we're asking the NBA to do right now is wrong. The fact is they're coming in and saying it shouldn't be a big deal when realistically, culturally, as much as so many of us say, hey, everybody's using it, we do not have a national policy that supports that. In fact, it's still fully illegal in three states. It's 11 states have it fully legal. Only 11 states have said use it however you choose. Many states have medical requirements that will allow it, but those medical requirements are stringent. It's not easy to just go. Every state is not the caricature we have of California where you just say, hey, I'm going to get a note. We all remember what that used to be like. The fact is, What we're asking the NBA, the NFL, any of these leagues to do is be more progressive than our national policy has allowed. And that creates an entire open door, a can of worms that's difficult to figure out. Because what do you do when you're a league and suddenly you say, hey, we don't care, use away, no big deal. And then you realize you have different teams in different states that have different requirements on what they will and will allow. Ultimately, I understand that it shouldn't be a big deal. To me, it's not a big deal. To me, I fully support using it to help you in any possible way. And I also appreciate what Matt Barnes was saying when he said we don't sit there and ask about overuse when we talk about things like opioids and alcohol. I understand all of the logic around it, but I don't understand coming to the NBA and telling the NBA that they need to change their plans and their rules to be more progressive than the country has decided it wants to be as a whole. Do I hope that changes? Do I hope we get to a better spot on all of it? As a nation, yes. But ultimately, we have to look at what we're asking our sports leagues to do and then ask, hey, what if we decided as a populace is okay? And as much as it pains me from my personal background to say this, the NBA can't be held to a different standard than we hold the entire country to. It's First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. We've been taking your take. We will continue to take your take on Dak and the Cowboys parting ways. If it happens, we've all talked about the Cowboys. My question is, where could Dak go? What's the best fit for Dak and why? You guys have some great tweets on a team we haven't heard mentioned yet that could actually put Dak in the Super Bowl. We'll tell you about that next. You guys can keep tweeting at Jason Fitz, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Get you in on the conversation. We'll get more of your take. But first, let's talk about Daniel. A year ago, he resolved to stop putting off what he wanted to do. Get into information technology. Daniel enrolled in My Computer Career and now already is a few months into his IT career. Make 2020 your year. Go to mycomputercareer.edu. Take the free career evaluation. Do it today. You can start your new life as an IT pro in as little as 4 months. Classes meet on campus, or this is even easier, live online just 2 times a week. You can get this done. It's not rocket science. It's My Computer Career. mycomputercareer.edu. Some of you guys have done rocket science on Twitter, and you found the perfect spot where Dak could win a Super Bowl. We'll get some of your take next. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio. First Take, Your Take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM Channel 80, and, of course, ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and you can hang out with us on the Shell Penzo Performance Line. Don't forget, download the Vivid Seats app, enter promo code ESPN25. ESPN25 at checkout. Get you 10% off your next order. Don't buy just any seat. Get a Vivid seat. Now, if you're buying a Vivid seat as it stands right now, any Lakers game, you've got to start asking yourself, is LeBron going to be in or is he not going to be in? We know he rested against Golden State. It didn't matter. But now we hear maybe it's because of an injury, as we hear LeBron saying, hey, if he's healthy, he's going to play. The question is, are we buying LeBron's injury as an excuse for the rest? Former NBA player Matt Barnes joins Stephen A. and Max on First Take to debate it.
I'm going to believe him because I'm going to respect LeBron James enough to give him the benefit of the doubt. The fact of the matter is that he's given us no indication that he doesn't want to play regular season games. He's averaging 34.9 minutes per game. He hasn't missed a game since January 11th. You know what? And not only that, that groin injury is real because it's been something that has existed in the past. And so for me, it's a matter of integrity. When you talk about LeBron James missing a game and just coming up with an excuse to miss a game, I think that he's earned the right, where if he wanted a day of rest because he was just fatigued or tired, I could see him simply saying so. And that being that, because he's not somebody who's missed a slew of games. That's not what his resume says. That's not what his history says. Now, there are a plethora of dudes in the National Basketball Association that if they missed a game and had that excuse, you can raise your proverbial eyebrow and say, hey, what's going on here? Am I really, really supposed to believe that? But when it comes to LeBron James, who's known and is renowned for taking religious care of himself, I think he deserves the respect and the benefit of the doubt. And I want to bring up that paleo diet that you brought up. If you recall years ago, Max, he wasn't himself. He was weak as hell at one point because he lost those pounds.
Yeah.
And because everything had been compromised. So what I'm saying to you is that you're talking about him literally going away, disappearing for a couple of weeks, and then coming back. Because that was something that was very, very glaring. But in this particular instance, if you're just sitting there taking a game off or whatever, if he says it's because of a tightness and groin or whatever, I'm a believer, brother.
And to LeBron's credit, he's put his money where his mouth is so far this season. Of the 57 Lakers games, LeBron has played in 54 of them. Mm-hmm. Matt?
I think he put his foot in his mouth a little while back saying, if I'm healthy, I'm going to play. But as I think we've touched on, if anybody deserves time off, it's LeBron. So whether you want to call it a groin injury, a back injury, rest, whatever you want to call it, he deserves it. He's played 54 out of 57 games. He showed his dominance in year 17 at the age 35. But the Lakers know for them to be the best team they can be in the playoffs, LeBron has to be 100%. So whether it's, I see him probably missing 4 or 5 games in this last stretch just to make sure, because they're coming down the stretch. They have it clinched. And, you know, rest him, because they know when they're really going to need him is once the playoffs start.
Matt, let me keep you on point here. We all know he deserves the rest if he wants it. But the real question is, do you believe him when he and the Lakers say it's a groin injury? That's really the question that we're asking here, because everybody knows he deserves time off if he wants it. But do you believe him when he says he's tweaked it a little bit and he was ailing?
I think so, because groin, hamstrings, quads, those are all nagging injuries that take a long time to heal, and any little movement can aggravate that. So if it's a groin, I believe it's a groin. But like I said, whether it's a groin, whether it's rest, he needs it at this point.
That's why it's a great excuse, because it's plausible. I just want to read something to you. Here are LeBron games played. And by the way, this is smart. He plays deep into the playoffs every single year.
He plays
in the Olympics. He has whirlwind schedule. So just, I don't know, last bunch of years, I'll go in reverse chronological order. Last year, 55. Before that, 82. 74, 76, 69, 77, 76, 62. That's decent. It's not like Iron Man, but it's decent. Then all of a sudden, he made it a point that if I'm healthy, I play every game. Why? Because Kawhi is load managing, and it lets him give a contrast. Here's the thing about load management, Stephen A. It's basically preventative medicine. You know, what you're trying to do is avoid severe fatigue, which can also lead to injury, particularly at an advanced age when you've played so many minutes.
Matt, with you being the resident player here, do you agree with that? Do you think that they should be careful and possibly resting, managing LeBron in this stretch to the playoffs?
1,000%. And if you look at just the wide scope of everything, he may have the most miles ever for an NBA player. You know what I mean? Coming in at 18, and for everything Max mentioned, he's always been an all-star. He's always taken his team deep in the playoffs. He's always been an Olympian. He's always played more minutes than everybody. So at year 17, age 35, I'm surprised he has played 54 out of 57 games because of the fact, knowing that there's a lot of miles on those tires, but also knowing that this is a special Laker team and they have a chance to win a championship each year. So I'm not going to be surprised if he misses another 4 or 5 games, maybe 6
games. With different excuses?
I don't even care what the excuse is.
Right. So in other words, what Matt's doing, you're acknowledging like they're going to have to come up with reasons.
Right.
And some of them are going to be excuses. Well, is this one? I would say, yeah, probably.
But I'm like Stephen A. I will respect the fact that he's had a previous injury with the groin. And everyone handles injuries different, and groins are a nagging injury. So like I said, whether it's the groin or not, he needs some rest.
Mm-hmm.
Stephen A.
And I don't know why the hell Max would think he feels the need to explain to us what a groin injury entails, as if he played basketball. Let's be very, very clear, okay? That is not the case. The bottom line is this. We're talking about LeBron James here, and we're talking about a guy that missed 17 straight games last year because of the groin. We also talk about, you know what, it's not the equivalent of a cramp in some people's eyes, and others it might be. But you could be running up and down the court, Max, and look and feel 100%, and then all of a sudden you catch a cramp. All of a sudden, you tweak your groin. It is happening. So at the end of the day, what it comes down to is this question for you, Max. LeBron James has been known to play. LeBron James has been known to be in peak condition. And there has never been a time that I recall where he has sat up there and been accused of lying about an injury. Ever. So I'm asking you. That's what you think he's doing today? His 17th year in the league after 16 years
and
not doing it?
I think the problem is he talked himself into a corner when he criticized about rest. Load management is smart. The NBA season is too long. Second of back-to-backs is an idiotic idea for the league. They should never have them in the first place. And when you're trying to win a championship, that you're responsible for the business of the league instead of for the competition of your team, trying to get your team a championship. As a Lakers fan,
why do you think they organize back-to-backs? You think
money.
You think that every arena is just money. Available every time they want it?
I understand, but they're really, it's not a good idea. You want the best bet in sports, take the home team when the road team's playing the second of back-to-back in the NBA.
First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. This isn't going to go anywhere. Load management is going to be a bigger part of the conversation as we get into the last 20 or so games of the NBA season and everybody tries to figure it out. What you can figure out is SimpliSafe. With SimpliSafe, you'll have a team of security experts ready to dispatch police at a moment's notice. Get free shipping. Now we got a way to save you money. Get free shipping at SimpliSafe.com/fits. That's simply with an I, safe.com/fits, F-I-T-Z. All right, I want to know, if Dak and the Cowboys part ways, where's the best fit for him and why? You got to tell us why. This is your last chance to get in. At Jason Fitz on Twitter or 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Plus, Tua rising in the draft. How high could Tagovailoa actually go? You'll hear from one of our draft experts next. But first, it's time for some straight talk. You know what a full court press in basketball is, right? It's full defensive coverage with no holes. That's the kind of coverage you get with Straight Talk Wireless. It runs on America's best networks, same as big carriers, but this is important, for a lot less. Just $45 a month gets you the unlimited plan with 25 gigs of high-speed data, then 2G saving you up to half the cost of big carriers. Plus, no contract, you get the full court coverage, half the cost. These are all wins. Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less. Savings may vary. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. You'll get the straight talk on one of the quarterbacks that everybody's got their eye on next. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. First Take, your take on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, Sirius XM, Channel 80, and ESPN News. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. You guys hang out with us on the show, Penzo Performance Line. If you missed the second hour of the show, go check out the whole thing on demand to the First Take, Your Take podcast, brought to you by Capital One. With Capital One, you can open a new checking or savings account with no fees or minimums. That's awesome. Welcome to banking reimagined. What's in your wallet? Approval required. Capital One, N.A. member FDIC. Now, we're getting your thoughts on if Dak and the Cowboys part ways, where's the best fit for him and why? That's the important part of it. You can still tweet me at Jason Fitz. You can call 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Before we get any more of your take, though, let's get to some Straight Talk, brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. And that comes from Todd McShay, ESPN NFL draft expert at the Combine, joining Stephen A. and Max, talking about just how high Tua Tagovailoa could actually go in this year's draft.
If I was assured for 10 years of health from Tua Tagovailoa, I would take him. But I'm not assured of that. And you go back and look at the history of the draft, and you look at the history of college quarterbacks, first-round quarterbacks that are drafted that have had injuries in college, they go on to have injuries in the NFL. 7 first-round quarterbacks have been taken in the last 10 years that have had injuries in college. All 7 of them have had injuries in the NFL, starting with Sam Bradford, Robert Griffin III, Carson Wentz, the list goes on and on, Deshaun Watson. And it's not necessarily the same injury. And this guy, go back to high school and study what his history is. He had injuries in high school. He's had injuries in college. He's never played a full season of football in his career, unfortunately. He's an absolutely phenomenal quarterback, and he should be the first overall pick in this year's draft if he was completely healthy. But he's not. And you have to factor that into the evaluation. So if I'm Washington and I knew for a fact that I was getting 10 years of Tua healthy and 100%, then, yeah, of course I'm going to take him. But I don't know that. So I'm going to take Chase Young, and I'm assuming that Joe Burrow is going to go number one overall to Cincinnati or a team that trades up to go get that pick.
Todd McShay, listen, obviously you know your football, and I'd say I preface my comments by saying, you know, thinking about the NFL, not just college, knowing what you know just about the sport overall, where do you believe Tua is a safe landing spot for Tua, where a team that grabs him can completely justify it with no concerns whatsoever, even if his durability and his health is still a question mark? Because clearly number two appears to be too much of a risk. What spot do you think provides no risk at all for somebody of his caliber, but of his health issues as well?
I mean, health issues are always going to be a risk, right? First Take, your take on ESPN Radio. That's Straight Talk Wireless, everything for less, only at Walmart. Health is always going to be the issue with Tua Tagovailoa, not just because of the hip, but let's also remember 2 surgically repaired ankles. You've had some knee issues. You've had some thumb issues. If he's healthy, I mean, absolutely, everybody should jump on board. But that if is a massive if. And that's why the funny part of this is going to be looking back on the draft in 5 years. If Tua comes out and he's never healthy, everybody will look at it and say, how did somebody take him 2nd overall? If he comes out and he is, it's going to be, how did we not see this coming? And we'll forget to acknowledge that this if is a massive if. There is no if when it comes to the ESPN Daily Podcast. You should tune in It brings you a deep dive into a single story from one of ESPN's hundreds of reporters. Presented by ADT. Download, subscribe, and review ESPN Daily. Available wherever you enjoy your podcasts. We've been asking you, if Dak and the Cowboys part ways, where's the best fit for Dak? Bungles are back? I just like that name of the question mark. Says, I think Tampa. We've had a lot of Tampa votes. They have a top 10 defense, a good tight end, two Pro Bowl wide receivers. Just think, if the quarterback didn't throw 30 interceptions, how many more games they would have won? That's not bad. And then Tony says, anywhere that isn't going to pay him $33 million a year, that's crazy. He's not worth that much. Yes, he is. He's on the market right now, and that means he's worth that much. It doesn't matter what he's done. It matters what somebody will pay. Chuck in South Carolina, give us your take, Chuck. Where should Dak end up where he could have the most success?
I ain't going to say most success, but I'd say the Dolphins.
Okay, why is he going there?
I think the Cowboys could try to trade him to the Dolphins where they get their pick and could get Tua.
Oh, okay, so you think they're making that swap. Would you make that swap? Oh, that's a good – I mean, I just said the if of the question mark of Tua's health. I mean, you're getting that high of a draft pick. Gosh, I think you're probably going for that. I mean, that would make sense. I just don't know if that would be possible. Now, we are getting several tweets at this point saying Dak should go to the Patriots. Oh, good God. I mean, I understand it. Tom Brady goes somewhere else, and then we keep talking about Brady to the Cowboys. Then you turn around and you get Dak to the Patriots. I don't know that my life is ready for that at this point. I'm not sure that I'm ready to figure that out. Manny says anybody can win with Belichick. A couple of votes for the Raiders. I take Dak over Carr, at least he competes to win. I don't think Raider Life says that. I don't think that's necessarily a fair assessment of Carr. I mean, that challenges the ability of Carr to be competitive. I don't know that that's true of any NFL quarterback, but I don't think that that necessarily makes sense. I think ultimately, if you're looking at where Dak could go and have success right now, it's the Bears. We keep talking about it. What way? See, here's the win for the Bears, getting a huge name quarterback to come in. It gives them an out from Mitchell Trubisky. How can Pace, the GM, step away from Mitchell Trubisky and not lose face? The answer to that is simple. The way that he can step out and not lose face is to bring in somebody that's incredible. All right, that's the way that you do it. So if you're turning around saying, look, we love Mitchell Trubisky, but come on, Tom Brady was available. Your fans will say, oh, that makes sense. And you've saved your job. That's what this all comes down to. When you are suddenly tied to Patrick Mahomes and you're tied to Deshaun Watson and everybody says, oh, you could have, you should have. Now, if you can turn around and say, guys, we didn't get it right the first time, but we've gotten it right now. Oh, that frees everybody up. That's why the Bears are the logical sense for any of these quarterbacks that want to find a spot where they can actually get to the Super Bowl. Chicago's got the defense. They have playmakers, and they have innovative play calling from their head coach. Don't forget, speaking of innovative play calling, tune in tomorrow night for college basketball action. Duke. Can anybody figure out this Duke team? Duke battles Virginia. Coverage begins at 7:30 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. By the way, if you're not watching it every week, I do a bracket show with Joe Lenardi on ESPN Plus. Go check it out. Always a good time. So, also, Ricardo. Ricardo called on Tuesday. We'll tweet out the information. Ricardo, we will reach out to you. Ricardo gets a swag pack. You are our caller of the week. We're going to make this happen every single week. What I know is that if there's Jerry Jones and Dak Prescott talk, Will Cain is going to be on top of it. So you don't want to go anywhere. The Will Cain show is going to come on. Will explains why everyone has the Jerry Jones, Dak Prescott relationship wrong. You can only hear it from Will Cain. Thanks for hanging out. First Take Your Take. Have a great weekend.